Welcome back to Building a Stomping Ground Season 4. Today I'm having a conversation with Ramon from George Jackson Academy, which is a middle school for boys in New York City. They challenge their boys' minds, nurture their hearts, and empower them to be leaders and change makers. They were founded in 2003, and Ramon shares some beautiful stories with us from how this school has impacted their youth from when they were students there all the way up through their adulthood. Ramon's stories are powerful and impactful and beautiful, and I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did. So Ramon, tell us who you are and a little bit about George Jackson and y'all's mission and what you're up to.
Well, first, thank you, Maddie, for having me on. Any opportunity to speak about GJA, I take it. So my name is Ramon Javier. I'm the head of school of George Jackson Academy. I'm in my second year supporting the school. It's an absolute honor and a privilege to serve in this role and to support this community and these boys. We are an all boys independent middle school, grades 6 to 8. We serve primarily low income and low wealth families, but we serve a full range of students as well, kids from all over financial backgrounds. We've been predominantly boys of color, but we're not exclusive in any kind of way. And really our mission is to educate high achieving boys, right? Our values are courage, integrity, empathy, and leadership. We're grounded in the LaSallian tradition, education of the head, the heart, and the spirit. But we are a fully accredited independent school here in the state of New York. Our school is dope, man. It's a unique experience to be able to be in a space where you have about 100 boys, grade 6 to 8, and they're coming from all over New York City. They're coming from all kinds of religious, ethnic, racial backgrounds. And they come together here all with the foundation of brotherhood. Like, we really believe our tagline is brotherhood lasts a lifetime. We really believe that. Mm-hmm. And what you find in that is kind of reimagining the idea of manhood, where we believe in those four core values that I mentioned. We believe in hard work. But we also look at, you know, we touch on vulnerability and we examine what that means. That's why empathy is one of our core values. You know, growing up, for me personally, that wasn't something that was presented to me as something that's part of manhood, vulnerability or honesty in that way, or having a full understanding of this full scope of human emotions, because we're men, but we're boys, but we're human beings and we experience all emotions. Mm-hmm. And so to provide the boys with a space in which they're going to be pushed and loved and supported academically, but where they're still going to be able, they're going to be allowed to explore the full range of emotions without judgment, and with lower stakes in terms of consequences. It's not about punishing kids, it's about helping them grow. So being able to be part of that environment and support it really is an honor and a privilege for me. I love coming to school every day.
That's amazing. You talk about it so beautifully, and just a little bit, you know, having some of your students come to camp, I've seen just glimpses into that community that is just so filled with love. And I love that you talk about vulnerability and empathy and all of that kind of stuff. It really, even in just the couple students I've met, it like flourishes and you can really see that. So props to y'all. You're doing incredible, amazing work. That's so cool.
Thank you.
I want to mention too, I know you're celebrating this year. So tell us a little bit about your anniversary and what that looks like. How are y'all celebrating?
We're celebrating 20 years, man. 20 years of GJA. Amazing. School started in September of 2003. It was in honor of the music producer and the movie producer, George Jackson. And he believed in boys' education. He was part of a school called Monsignor Kelly and then Fordham Prep. And he always found those experiences to be incredibly formative for him. But he passed at the age of 42 of a stroke. And Brother Brian Carty, who was his teacher at Monsignor Kelly, he wanted to start the school. George wanted to start a school. And so in his honor, they opened up the school in 2003. And we're here. We have over 430 alumni. We have our first group. They're like, are in their 30s. They were admitted to the bar. They're starting their own businesses. They're going to medical school, or they're graduated from medical school. So we're seeing all of the fruits of that labor. All of the work that people before me, they put in, the work of their families, and especially the work of these boys that are now men. And so we're taking time to celebrate that 20 years, right? To I don't want to be crass, but it's proof of this concept that we had, this idea, like if you create this kind of school, you focus on boys, You offer them this space where they can be vulnerable, but you're still going to push them, and you're going to do it throughout the whole entire experience with love, that you will produce good men of good character, who are going to be leaders and are going to have a really strong sense of who they are, and it's all going to be grounded in brotherhood. So we're celebrating that, and we had a great kickoff event in September. We're going to have a little high class little cocktail party in February. We're going to do another a video presentation in May. And I'll just say this, Maddie. I think the one of the things that I noticed, it was I think my third day at GJA back in July 2022, and an alum, he just stopped by. And I was like, all right, cool. It turned out this alum hadn't been in New York for a few years, and he was in town for a wedding with his girlfriend. And the very first thing he did on his first day, they got in the night before, but the first thing he did on the first day back in New York City was come to GJA. And that always
Wow.
stayed with me. I was like, okay, this is a middle school. Okay, this is a grown man. He's coming back to New York. This is the first place he goes. Okay. And then it kept happening. Like alums just like, yeah, I was in the neighborhood or I wanted to see it. And that just kind of stayed with me. And at first it was surprising. At first it was like, oh, who are you? Because I'd never met these people. And then it was like, oh, okay, an alum is coming. And I was like, oh, this is what happens here. They come back. And I don't know what your experience was with your middle school. I had a pretty powerful experience with mine. It was a magnet school called Mount Hall. So I feel the power of a really special middle school experience and the impact it can have on a kid or on a person. And I see that in our school. Like they come back uninvited and the door's always open, meaning they come without an agenda. They just want to come and see their school. And that's part of what we're celebrating too, is the deep connection that our alumni have with their school. And we want to preserve that for the current students and beyond.
That must be so fulfilling and amazing to hear those stories. And I mean, middle school is a pretty formative time for all of us, right? I think everyone remembers being that age, and it's you're very malleable, and so the community and the support that y'all provide, like it's working. Proof is people are coming back and they feel drawn to that community, and they feel like they belong in that community still, even after all of those years. So that's just incredible. I think testament again to the work you guys are doing, which is amazing.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Well, you've already kind of answered this question, but I want to give you some more time if you want to. Why do you show up to work every day? What is it that keeps you coming back?
I was talking to the boys about this on Thursday. I like to play music in the morning when they're coming in. First of all, I have the honor of greeting them every morning. I get to shake all their hands and say, good morning, Ibrahima. Good morning, Anthony Mason. And I get to check in on them. That little exchange of the handshake and eye contact, that little exchange is everything for me because I really get to in that short amount of time. I'm really kind of checking in. I'm really sizing them. Like, okay, how does this compare to the way I saw them yesterday, the day before? And you'll see things, right? You'll see, oh, something happened. Something happened on the train. Got it. Okay, something happened last night. That's why you look tired. Oh, you're really happy. What are you celebrating? What are you happy about? Like that little exchange is brief, but really powerful, and it's packed with stuff. And the fact that I get to play the music and just hopefully begin their day with joy and then have that really authentic connection, however brief it is, that I mean, if I have to miss a day of work because I have to travel or I have to go do something, I try to figure out a way that I can be here in the morning and then go and get on an airplane. And if I have to do that, because that part, it sets the tone for the rest of the day because it really lets you know, okay, I'm here to build meaningful relationships with these boys at a really pivotal point in their life, and I'm able to draw on my own personal experiences, having had some of the same experiences as they had growing up in New York, first generation, grew up low income and all that. But being able to have that connection with them, that part gets me up every morning because I just think it's really important. It's a privilege to be able to do that. So.
Wow, that's everything. It's all about relationships, right? And it sounds like you prioritize relationships over everything, and that's incredible. Okay, my next question is, what is something that is a block to just like continuing your mission? What is something that if you had this thing, whatever it is, that you feel like you could just reach an even farther? I mean, you're already doing incredible, incredible work every single day, and
Thank you.
obviously, it's beautiful and hearing the stories and the men coming back and all of that, but Yeah, just what is something that would just make that reach even a new level, a new potential?
I think a winning Powerball ticket that would really do it.
Yep.
We work with low income, low wealth families, right? And I'm very particular about that language. I don't use disadvantage or underprivileged. I don't even use under-resourced. I use that because we're talking about funding, right? And that's the biggest pain point. We're effectively a nonprofit. We raise 90 to 92% of our operating budget every year. The tuition is listed as 25,100, but the cost of educating a student is higher than that. And it's a little bit above 30. It's between 31 and 33,000, depending on the enrollment, and what we were able to raise that year. So funding becomes an issue every year. So it's something that we have to do. We have to be really aggressive about every year. If we were able to build a large enough reserve so that the fundraising doesn't have to be so much every year, right? And I think we'd be able to, expand the number of teachers. We have a great core of teachers, but it'd be great to be able to have a few more folks in the building, right? To be able to offer a few more administrative positions to really support the kids and the families in their growth. I would also love to have our own building. We don't own this building. We don't have a gym or a theater. But we make do, right? We're New Yorkers, we're scrappy in that regard. And so we use the resources around us, but I would love to have our own building. Not just so we have our own building, but so that we can actually service the community in different ways. We've had partnerships with community organizations. It'd be great to be able to offer them space, to support the work that they're doing, and to be able to offer the boys like a theater and a gym. But we make do because we offer fencing, we offer Muay Thai.
Oh, wow.
We do offer the boys, I think, a unique experience as it relates to PE and athletics. But it'd be great to have a building. So the pain points are, the fundraising model, right? Which we have a lot of support, which is amazing, and I'm grateful. And it's something that we have to be really intentional about and aggressive about every year.
Yep.
The space, it'd be great to have our home building.
Yeah, amazing. Well, if anyone out there wins Powerball, then find Ramon, George Jackson Academy.
Come see us.
Come see him. Get him that building. That would be amazing. Okay, so you talked about partnerships and you work with a lot of community partners, which I think is incredible. I think learning more about George Jackson, I just love that community is just such a integral piece of what you do, and you talk about it, but you also do it, right? You're actively building that community and supporting other people. So yeah, I'd love to just hear like why you think this partnership with Stomping Ground is important, like what, or partnerships in general, why do you think that's an important thing for organizations to be focusing on?
Well, I think the first thing with partnerships in general is it's got to be win-win. Like, it can't just be like you're giving us stuff, right? Like, it's got to bring value for the partner as well. I think an alignment from a win-win perspective that produces a long-term, healthy, sustainable relationship. So that's kind of the foundation for us as we go around thinking about partnerships. I think with Stomping Ground, the ability to leave the city and do something different.
Absolutely.
I think that's really important. We live in, what some people call the greatest city in the world. We live in an amazing city, right? There are many beautiful and amazing cities. But it can feel isolating. It can feel like you're in a bubble. I remember telling my friends, I remember being 16 and being like, can we just get on the A train and just go downtown? Can we just leave the block? And us like leaving the block, leaving like Dyckman and Washington Heights to go see New York City. And so for the boys to be able to leave New York and experience themselves in a different space with different people, that's just an opportunity for them to learn about others. But I think just as importantly, to learn about themselves, right? Like finding out, hey, nature is kind of cool. I kind of like it. I kind of like trees. Like, this air feels different. Oh my goodness, there are real stars in the sky. That's not a joke. It's not like a drawing in some painting. They're actually out there. So the ability to have partnerships with Stomping Ground and folks and other partners that expose the boys to other opportunities that they may not have had. Maybe they would have, but we don't know for sure if they were going to ever have them. And so the ability to expose them to that, I think it just opens up more possibilities for them. And I think when I think about middle school, a lot of what we do is identity formation, helping them form their identity. And part of that is thinking about what are the inputs that you're putting in, right? What are the things you're exposing them to so they can begin to decide, like, okay, who am I going to be? What kind of person am I going to be in the world? And part of that has to do with what they're exposed to. And so the partnerships are so important. So something like with Stomping Ground, that's just another opportunity for the boys to be able to learn more about themselves and see who they're going to be in the world.
Right. And camp is such a perfect place to come and kind of try out being someone new. You get to go to a new space with people who you don't know very well, and you get to play, and you get to be in a community that's, we think creates a lot of belonging. And so you get to kind of test that out of, okay, is this who I am? Does this feel good? Does this not feel good? But I just feel so grateful for this partnership because all of the students that you have sent have just brought so much to our community. I mean, they've just enriched our community with all of the values that you're, teaching them and just soaking them in all the time at school. They really bring those to camp, and it really shows. And it's been beautiful to see them like explore themselves and explore the space and all of that. So I feel very grateful for this partnership.
And if I can add too, I think they get to have fun. And I think we can forget because we're in like getting them ready for these schools and for life and the core values, like they just get to have fun. We forget. Sometimes I can forget they're kids and they're just kids. And having fun is, I think, an important part of childhood. So just the opportunity for them to be able to do that is also, I'm grateful for that as well.
Absolutely. I love that you added that on because that's the whole goal of camp. We're just here to play and have fun. And, all of the values and the other stuff like that is incredible, but it's just about playing, especially when you're in middle school and, you're thinking about high school, which then you're really thinking about college or whatever, next steps, next steps. It's when society starts to put all those pressures on you just to have space for 2 weeks to play and to just be outside and experience that, I think is, yeah, so wonderful. Okay, well, talking about playing and celebrating and all those things, I want to end with a typical way we end a lot of meetings, and it's called 10-second celebrations. So, what is something personally at work, at school, whatever? Just something that you're feeling really excited about, really proud of, something you just want to like celebrate with everybody for a second.
This is hard, and only because I feel like at this point there are a few good things to celebrate. All right, so I'm gonna something personal. My one of my kids is gonna be starting at a new school, and I'm excited for that. It's gonna be a little bit of a challenge at first, but I'm really, really excited for them, because it's gonna be, I think, a really positive change for them.
That's amazing.
For the boys, they are starting to find out what schools they've gotten into, and one of our boys got into the Avenue School, so we're really excited for him. And the coolest part, Maddie, was when he shared it with his classmates. It wasn't a, like, oh, he got into school and I didn't. It was they started clapping for him and cheering him. Like they genuinely just erupted in cheering for this kid, and he was like surprised and so happy. And then I think of a smaller thing is I'm gonna get to read a few books this break, and I'm really excited to just sit down and read. So
I love that. Those are incredible. So much to celebrate. So much is happening just personally and at work. And I love that they're celebrating each other. That's such a beautiful story. Well, thank you, Ramon, for all of your incredible stories and time. And I could just listen to you talk for so long. That was incredible. So thanks for joining me.
well, thank you for giving me the space to talk about GJ. It's an honor to do so. So thank you.